Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of the Game Train podcast. I'm Callan and with me as always is Carl.
Hello.
Hello, Carl.
Hey.
How are you? You good?
I am so swell.
Are you excited that we made it to 10 episodes?
Man, two digits. This is a milestone.
I know, right? Like, yeah. Wow. Whew, look out. This week we're going to be talking about the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy for our feature game. Plus, yeah. We also have two new segments for everyone. I know we only mentioned we're going to have one new one last time, but we actually have two. Our Games of Gold Plus segment and our Backtracked segment.
Yes. Excited about that one.
Oh, of course. Plus our normal currently playing. And as always, our lame and hype trains. But first, the news.
So we just got news that the Xbox One will be the only place that'll download the 4K assets for the big 4K games. People were getting a bit worried about the new games being 1 to 200 gigs plus to download. So fear not, if you just have an Xbox One.
You imagine that, three games and your hard drive's full.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine that, having an Xbox One downloading 4K and just being salty about it. And it's like their way of saying, maybe just go buy the Xbox One X. But don't worry, no fear. Only the Xbox One X will download those assets. I don't know how they're going to do that. Some sort of magical voodoo.
Overwatch's newest hero has been released. Doomfist has finally come to the game. Fans have been crying out for this hero since pretty much day dot. Everyone's been pretty excited about that.
I'm so keen to finally use him after, you know, shipping his bloody fist around all this time.
The original Doomfist was shown in the original launch trailer in like a case in a museum. So it goes all the way back to there.
Also, Assassin's Creed anime series is on the way from the Netflix Castlevania producer, which the Castlevania show is out right now, all the episodes. That was interesting. He just announced it on Facebook. It's a bit random.
EA has announced that the Star Wars Battlefront 2's open beta will be coming in October. You won't need to pre-order to get access, but if you do pre-order, you get in on the 4th of October, while everyone else gets in on the 6th of October. And it will be running until the 9th of October. So it's a really short 3 to 5 days, depending on if you've pre-ordered or not, beta. But yeah, go check it out when it launches. I know I will be.
The Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, which we'll be talking about later, has done extremely well so far in the UK, which is the only place that is sort of showing the stats. And there, it's already the biggest single-format boxed release of the year, beating out the likes of Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nintendo Switch has a keyboard attachment coming.
There is now a free DLC pack for Titanfall 2, The War Games. It's out right now. This DLC pack has two new maps, and it's also got some key features, including the addition of a third weapon slot and a permanent addition of Titan Brawl as a game mode, and the latest Hollow Pilot execution. So if you're into that thing, if you want to jump back in there and make it less of a desert, please do.
And one of our listeners, Melvick, will be excited about this.
Hey, Mel.
Hearthstone, Knights of the Frozen Throne, which will introduce 135 new cards to the game. It's coming out in August, so not far away at all.
Also, Horizon Zero Dawn new patch for ultra hard difficulty and game mode plus is now out for free. So jump on that too and get all up in there ready for their story DLC coming out later this year. That's the news.
All right. What have you been playing, Carl?
All right. Well, obviously, I was extremely excited about the new DLC for Zelda Breath of the Wild, so I jumped straight back into that, seeing as I actually haven't finished it yet, so...
Neither have I. So this is the one with the hard mode that's been added and the super map.
Yes, the Hero's Path. I love this thing. I've done all the towers just to unlock the whole map, but then where I have been, which is just, you know, the Zora's area and the Goron's area... It still looks like I just like touched a little bit there and scrolled on through. There's like these huge, vast valleys and mountains that I didn't even look at. And I'll be standing somewhere now and I keep pressing pause, looking at the map and checking out my hero's path. I'll just stand at the top of a hill and look to the left and then check the map and go, oh, everything beyond this point I have never been to.
Yep.
But it looking at it, it looks like, oh, I've been there. And, you know, you just want to kind of walk past. So I don't know. Yeah. I think this would be really cool for someone who's already finished it. But for me, who hasn't yet, and for you,
yeah,
I feel like this is just going to change the dynamics of the game completely. Because now, I mean, I guess you're kind of like me, like we're a bit of completionists when it comes to the games that we actually love. And I find it so hard to move on. Every time I look at the map and go, well, I haven't seen everything in this area yet. I've just spent 4 days in the Goron Death Mountain area, and I'm so sick of it, but I can't leave. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back into it soon. But I've been busy with a lot of games this sort of fortnight. I jumped back on Diablo 3 after the Necromancer was released to check him out.
Nice. How was he?
Fun. Corpse Explosion is super fun. Like, it's probably the main thing I use. Like, drop one sort of enemy down in a big group and just explode that corpse, and then just set up that chain reaction of, like, every time someone drops down, explode their corpse, et cetera, et cetera. You sort of get what's going on there.
Wow, yeah, nice. Yeah.
So that's pretty fun.
That's a bit OP.
I haven't taken him to max level yet, so I can't really go into what he's like at max level, but the leveling process is kind of fun with him. You know, yeah, it was fun.
I just recently downloaded Super Bomberman R for my Switch, just to play on the plane with my fellow bandmates on tour.
I heard one of your bandmates is terrible at that game as well.
Shout out to Tuan.
Hey, Tuan.
I haven't got to play against Tuan, to be fair, on Super Bomberman R. Maybe he's a lot better on this one. We only really played against each other on the Super Nintendo version. And flying on the plane, for some reason, the tickets seem to have been arranged so that I was only sitting next to my guitarist, Clint. Shout out to Clint.
Where did you put Tuan on the plane then?
Oh, he was in front of us.
Oh.
I think he might have done a little sneaky whispering to the lady so that he didn't have to play Bomberman with us.
He didn't want to lose again?
No, okay, this is a challenge. If Tuan beats me, I'm going on tour this weekend. If he beats me this time, I will say it publicly and I will lay down my sword on the next episode. But yeah, no, I've been really enjoying this version. I've only played multiplayer. I haven't played the story mode. It's heaps more responsive and quick than the weird remake they did on Xbox 360, which was Super Bomberman Live. That was like really like floaty and just, it didn't feel right. But granted, it's still not quite the magic of the Super Nintendo games. I don't know. They're just so like accurate. And it's all about this like precise placement and hiding. Just, the controls need to be just so tight. It's nearly there, and it looks really pretty, but it's still not what the Super NES did, and I wish they'd just release a 16-bit Bomberman. Yeah, what else have you been playing?
I checked out I Am Setsuna, which is on the PlayStation 4 and the Nintendo Switch.
It's a
RPG. It has a very Chrono Trigger feel to it.
Oh, nice.
I haven't played much of it. But yeah, it seems fun so far, so it's one that I'm going to play more of in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it seems pretty cool so far. It's like, I got it on the Switch, so, you know, keeping it mobile and stuff like that.
I also this week jumped back into Eagle Flight, which is a game I've been playing on PSVR. I just jump back in every now and then. These games are, because you got to take out the thing and set up the actual headset and all that. So sometimes it's a bit of a hassle just to do it. But now it's been out for a few weeks. I've just been sitting down after going to shows or long days. And this game is just, to me, the ultimate winding down game. It's just, you're just this eagle flying around post-apocalyptic Paris. And it's just so simple. Usually you're collecting feathers. It's very Ubisoft. It is made by Ubisoft, of course. You know, big collectathon, or you're doing levels that are, you know, you're flying through rings and then they rate you at the end 1 to 3 stars. What was weird though is I was kind of just getting into it for ages, and then at the end I took a screenshot of it. I'll chuck it up there. I saw that I was third on this list, and I was like, oh cool, I must be third out of my friends. And then I remembered none of my friends have PSVR, so I'm like, oh well, that's not right. So it looks like I had the third best time period in that level. And I was like, what? Either I'm very good at this or no one is playing Eagle Flight. And I think it's the latter. So someone get on and play this thing.
Eagle Flight champion here.
Me and six other people on Earth.
That's all right, man.
But it's fun. I urge you to try it one day. Or just go buy one of these things, man. Sell a leg.
Yeah, I've been playing Life is Strange. I finally got around to trying this game out.
Nice.
It was so good. I finished the whole 5 episodes. It was so good. I'm not going to talk about the story because the whole game is about the story and I don't want to spoil it because it would suck having this game spoiled for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got some nice, I guess we could call them mic drops. Or
just big moments.
Yeah, some like, massive moments. It was a really well done, put together package. Like, this is, for me personally, it was like a 9 out of 10 game. Like, I loved it.
Nice.
The soundtrack was awesome. I loved the soundtrack. And I'm really excited. There is a prequel coming next month.
Yeah.
And there is a sequel in the works, which will probably come out next year or the year after. So, excited about that. All right, on to our new segment, Games with Gold Plus. So, Games with Gold Plus. Every month, the PlayStation and the Xbox release free games for their subscribers to their separate networks. And we're going to talk about those games that they release. Now, we've had a few people ask, hey, talk about the games that you can get for free. So, that's what we're going to do. Let's start off with the PlayStation Plus games. Until Dawn.
Oh, awesome.
The horror game, which is all about story choices and has like a butterfly effect that all your choices have like a ripple effect throughout the whole game.
You can play through it a few times.
Yeah, you can. It's like your traditional horror story. You got like 8 teenagers out in a cabin in the woods and people start dying.
Like an old school slasher movie.
Like an old school slasher movie. And it goes on from there, but you make choices throughout the game. You play as each character through different times and they all make You make choices, and then that pretty much determines who lives or dies throughout the game. It is a lot of fun. If you've got a PlayStation 4, download it. It's great.
Yeah, and it's really fun to play with friends, one or two friends sitting around, and you can smash it in one big sitting.
It's about 8 hours long. So
yeah, it's like having a movie night.
Exactly.
But really fun.
The other one on PlayStation Plus is Game of Thrones by Telltale Games. Again, another game where you're playing multiple characters and you're making choices, but this time in the Game of Thrones world.
And you played a bit of that?
Yes, I did. I played the first episode. It's set just at the end of season 3 when the Red Wedding happens. And it goes on from there. So you're playing as this other house called House Forrester. I've had interactions with Tyrion, Cersei, Ramsay Snow, as he's still a Snow then. In episode 2, you interact with Jon Snow, things like that. So it's all right. It didn't grab me like Life is Strange did, like because Life is Strange is a similar sort of game. It's all right for free. You know, I'll try the rest of it and see where the story goes.
Nice. Games at Gold. The only one that I've played at the moment that's out between June 16 and July 15, so get on that because there's only a few days left that you can actually download this for free, is the Watch Dogs Part 1, which unfortunately wasn't the awesome game that they promised when they first announced it, and there was all that controversy with Ubisoft, which has been since fixed, because Watch Dogs 2 was an excellent, fun game. One, I guess for free, sure, give it a shot just to see where it all began, and you know, it's fun to jump in there for a couple of hours, but just for me personally, if I was recommending it to a friend, even for free, I wouldn't say you'd need to finish it. Just jump in, have a run around for a couple of hours and see what the world is like. If you like it, keep going. If you don't, just uninstall it, but at least you kind of get the concept and the character for when you jump into Watch Dogs 2. There's like a few little shout-outs to it, but yeah, still don't know if it's worth it, even for free.
Grow Up is another one, which is like this 3D platformer. You play as this robot who's trying to get back to his mum, and you're on this planet, but you can pick up the different fauna on the planet and then like start replicating all that, so you can make like giant mushrooms or stalks and things like that and climb up them, and you're trying to get up to the moon off the planet or something like this. It's nice. Kind of weird. What I didn't like was how floaty it felt.
Okay, yeah.
I felt I kept missing jumps and things like that. It's not too bad. It's free, so go check it out. And the other one is Kane and Lynch 2, which was an Xbox 360 game, but now is also backwards compatible on the Xbox One. It's pretty much a cover shooter. It can be played in couch co-op or online co-op, so it could be a good one to play with a friend.
Nice.
Yeah, it was all right. Like, I played a bit of it, and I was like, it's all right, but it's probably not something I'm going to go back to, but it was free, so yeah. Feature game, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
All right, Crash Bandicoot is back. This one has been developed by Vicarious Visions and published by Activision for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, yep.
The original was developed by Naughty Dog, but they didn't do the remake. So this is a remake of, or remaster, of the first three Crash games.
You'd know Naughty Dog because they are the makers of Uncharted, the Uncharted series,
yep,
and the Last of Us series. Yes. So these guys, this is what sort of put them on the map, the original three.
Yeah, and so a remaster came out where they've taken the old games and they've actually built this from scratch. So yes. I was under the original impression that they'd taken the original games and given it a new coat of paint.
Yep, yep.
But what they've done here is taken the original games, which were hugely popular back in the day on PlayStation. You know, you play this Bandicoot, you go jumping through ruins, get chased by giant boulders. You know, people loved it. And they've taken an original game, but they've rebuilt it from the ground up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Now,
which is pretty exciting.
Which is exciting.
Yeah, yeah. We have been waiting for it.
We've been waiting for it, and I already always knew that the Crash Bandicoot series was hard. Like, I never really played it when I was a kid. I played a level 2 here or there.
Yeah,
but I always knew it was hard, and then I jumped into this. I'm like, all right, here we go. All right.
Let's do this thing.
I was dying. I'm like, what is with this game? Why is this so friggin' hard? Like, a kid couldn't play this. Well, I don't think so anyway, unless child me was, like, so much better.
Yeah, I thought like, oh man, I've just gotten soft because all these games with their tutorials and all this, and back in the day, games were harder. Maybe I was just, because you didn't have as many options now to just jump from game to game once you're over it.
Back then,
you got a game and that's all you had for 6 months, so you just got good.
You got good. And then I'm playing this, I'm like, man, I need to get good.
Yeah, same here. I'm like, I've done this.
And I'm like, I'm doing these jumps and I'm missing these simple jumps. I'm getting angry at it. I'm getting frustrated. And I'm feeling a bit salty at the game and myself. But I was determined to get through it. So I just kept pushing forward. I've been so used to, like, almost open world games these days that if you got stuck at a bit, you can always go and find something else to do in the game.
While this,
you have to follow the level progression. There's nothing you can do. If you get stuck on X level, you have to finish X level to get to Y level. Like, you can't go do mundane tasks for a bit to get over it. No, the next thing is the next level, and you've got to get through that. So we watched this video from What Culture Gaming.
Yes.
And the video said that, it had all been built up from the ground up again, because I was raging, saying this is a complete mess, because the first one felt like a complete mess. The hitboxes felt off, the jumping felt off at times, I felt like I was making jumps and then missing it. It was just rage-inducing. It really was.
I was salty.
I was frustrated. I was just, not a good place. And you showed me this video. In this video, they explained that they'd gone and remade everything from the ground up and taken the engine from the third game and used it in the first and second games, which I think is completely wrong and should not have been done. The first game was designed, the levels were designed with that original engine that was built for the game. And it's still the same style of game, but the engine slightly changed. The way that Crash jumps, the way that Crash moves, and the way that he lands on platforms, and the hitboxes of the characters have all changed.
Yeah, even but like just by
they've taken the original level
bits.
Designs of 1 and put it with the engine of 3. And I feel like this has made a broken mess of a game.
Yeah, so these differences are like minute, and thereby like pixel, like accurate, like tiny differences, which you'd think wouldn't really matter because obviously Crash Bandicoot 3 is the best of the three with everything. But the unfortunate thing is, you know, Crash 1 was designed completely around these exact mechanics. So when you're playing them with the Crash 3 mechanics, the levels, it's all like only just possible and not in like a in a fun way. Like, well, you still haven't played Inside by Playdead, have you? Okay, do that one day or our friendship is over. But in that game, there's these segments in it where it feels like you just make things out of like from the skin of your teeth, like you just made it and you think you nearly died and it feels amazing, but it all feels organic and possible and it just kind of, it's a different sort of feeling. In this, it's like mechanically broken. Like you can just feel it's just not quite right in the first one anyway.
Yeah, it feels like, yeah, it's just like, man, what is with this? It's made the game harder.
Yes, now, which already hard.
I managed to finish this game. I've gone through from start to end and beaten the last boss.
Yep, but then just so people know, how many lives do you think it took you if you just had to take a stab?
Probably about 400. I'm not joking.
Oh, man, yeah, and I think that's about accurate. Those levels in the sky, Road to Nowhere and High Road, where you're running across this bridge, this wooden bridge where planks fall from under you, there's these boars running at you. There's upside down turtle shells you have to bounce off, which in itself is extremely difficult. And I think you could just do the second one. I got through only because I spent half my life learning it on that first one.
Yep.
By that, I mean like several hours on a single level.
Yeah.
The second one, it took me maybe 30 to 35 lives. But the first one, I think I easily did nearly 100. It would have been 80 to 90 lives.
Yeah, I it was just ridiculous. Do you know what I did to make the game a little bit more bearable? I'd go farm lives. So I'd sit there for an hour and farm up 50, 60 lives.
Oh, I should have done that.
So I can get to the checkpoint and just pretty much just force my way through it, really. Right? Because I was just like getting annoyed at having to start the whole level again and then just dying to other stupid things. But so after finishing one, I've played 2 and 3 just for a look.
Yep.
I don't know. People are saying that the difficulty is 3, 2, then 1. Like 1's the hardest, 3 being the easiest.
Yep.
Maybe the others have felt easier to me, but maybe it's because I've just gone through ridiculously hard levels. Now I'm starting the new games and the levels are easy.
Yeah, of course. I did the same. I just went straight to 3 so I could compare the, you know, hardest to easiest or best to worst. It was, there was a lot more space, but yeah, again, maybe it's because it's the first world. I only did the first world and fought the first boss and it was just so easy and everything is kind of a bit bigger. And when that, you know, you have that boulder dash level in the first one where there's a boulder chasing you and you feel like that thing is just at your heels.
No, that's easy because when you jump gaps, if you spin midair, you actually speed up slightly. So I was almost lapping the boulder.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
But oh, yeah, that's quite... those levels for me, I find quite easy.
Nice. Well, having said that, when I played the third one, and their version of the boulder levels is the one with the big dinosaur chasing you.
Okay.
That thing is so far behind you, like you run for a good 3 seconds before it even starts chasing you. And I'm like, this is so easy.
Yep.
Like, it was a breeze. They're like different... whole different games. I don't know if that's the mechanics or because the level is actually designed around it or I don't know what it is, but it definitely felt easier.
I also liked in 2 and 3 you actually get a choice of 5 levels at a time, which is really nice. You're not forced to do that next level, so you can go, oh, I don't like that level or I'm getting destroyed in that level, so you just go and do the other levels first.
Yeah, I didn't even click about that.
Yeah, I quite like that. Another thing I didn't like about this game is the long loading times.
Yeah, I had that to say here today, which I didn't expect. I mean, this is a 20-year-old game.
I thought it would have been almost instant load times. Like these long load times when you enter a level or exit a level or get a game over.
Or even go into the bonuses.
Yeah, go into the bonuses or start the game up. It's it's like, come on, you know? I don't want to sit at a loading screen for 20 seconds.
Haven't we come past this in 20 years? Like, it is a bit weird. And I don't know, after playing things like Horizon Zero Dawn
or Breath of the Wild. You know, Ori, which is you die, you instantly respawn, bang, you back into it. You know, it's quite quick loading times, even coming in from the main menu and all that.
Yep. And I feel like it would be a lot less punishing if it did that, because games like Trials, the motorbike game, is so impossibly hard. But the fact that the second you die, the millisecond you die, you're back at the start. You feel like you never stop. So you just go like, you're going. You fall into some lava and you're there again. And you keep riding and you crash into a bomb and you're there again. And you just keep going and it's almost fun. It's like this weird, you're dying, but you're like having a laugh and suddenly you're playing again. And I feel like, especially in those ridiculous, impossible levels, when you actually game over and then you can just start the level again, like that sucks. But then there's waiting. And if you just like clicked back, it would have just helped that even a little bit.
Yeah, and just going back onto the map and then back into the level. So what do you score this game then? Like, take your nostalgia glasses off, and what do you score the game?
It was very difficult. And the thing is, though, I did quite like it. It's no Mario, you know, and the unresponsive controls causing the deaths is the most infuriating thing I have faced in a long time. But there's still that undeniable feeling of accomplishment after every level, and there. See, but the thing is, for me, I felt like they're just, all the levels are like, they're just short enough to tempt me to try one more when I finish it. Because I always think when I finish this level, I am done. I hate this thing. And then I kind of get there and I'm like, oh, that wasn't so long. Like, it was really hard, but okay, I'm just going to try this next one. And then I repeat the cycle.
If every level was as long as Native Fortress, no way.
No, see, that was the worst sort of length one. But so, you know, and like the music was kind of like nostalgic and fun. It did get annoying, though. There's something that was just kind of, it wasn't as iconic and memorable as some other old games that I remember, like playing through an old Zelda or an old Mario. This is like, it did for a moment there at the start, you're like, oh yeah, this music, ding, 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 ding. You know, it's like, oh yeah. And then it got a bit annoying. So I don't know, if it wasn't Crash Bandicoot, I wouldn't have given this the time of day after like three levels, to be honest. But it is, so I did. And then in playing part three, it did feel a lot nicer and actually felt more fun. I haven't given that more time, but yeah, it's not as, it feels like I should give this a terrible score, but I have this weird undeniable feeling of enjoyment after all that and playing it. I still kind of go back and want to give it a shot. So I give it 7 carriages out of 10 personally.
Oh, wow. Okay. I gave it 7.5.
Whoa, you gave it more.
I know, what the hell?
I thought you hated this thing.
I do. Wow. Well, not hate it, but I always like this love, hate. Had this strong your love, hate review? Relationship. The amount of times I messaged you with F this game.
I know. Okay. Don't tell. Okay. No more talk about negative. I heard it all. I want to hear the positives of what pushed it up way past that 5.
If it was just part one and I didn't know that they'd taken the engine from 3 and put it in, I would have just destroyed it. But yep. I think it's lessened the blow a little knowing that they've done that. I'm still angry about it. I still think it should have been the original engine under it. You don't go messing with that sort of stuff, especially in a platformer.
Especially in a platformer, course.
Which is designed around that original engine, which we spoke about before. But
yep.
It looks nice. It runs nice.
It does. It does look great.
I give it a 7.5. Like, it's not a bad game. It's a frustrating game.
And I think that's so impressed.
That's what I'm trying surprised. To get at here. That it is a frustrating mess, but it's not a bad game. Like,
go Tony into it Hawk knowing 5 it's a is a
bad game, right?
Yes, correct.
While this is not a bad game, it is just what they've done with it has really pissed me off, but it's still not a bad game at the same time. But I don't think, I know other people have been praising it, I don't think it should be getting the praise that it has been, and that's why I give it a 7.5.
Yep, fair. It is fun, but I think, I wish I knew it was this hard, because then if you're going to play this game, know that you're going into it as a massive challenge, and then it's kind of fun just to kind of say, challenge accepted, let's see if I can get through this impossible game. And it's kind of like, you know, a badge of honor as a gamer, old school and new school, because it's kind of changed to say like, oh, that game, I finished that one.
Yeah.
It took me 8 billion lives, but I did it.
All right.
So, yeah.
That was Crash Bandicoot. On to our next new segment for this week is Backtrack.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
You want to explain it, Carl?
Yes, okay. So Backtrack is a look back at what happened this week in gaming history. And, you know, we were doing games of our lives before this, and we reached the limit, which was this year, because we started from the year we were born. And we didn't want to miss out on having to talk about the retro games and games of the past at least once in every episode, because that's a lot of fun and it's what a lot of us fell in love with. So, yeah, we thought we'd add in this new segment called Backtrack, and we just see what happened in random times of, you know, gaming history this week.
So what happened in gaming history this week?
All right, well, we've just got a couple for you this episode. In 1983, on July the 15th, so this week, Nintendo released the Famicom, aka Family Computer, in Japan. And the console will be rebranded as the Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES, in all other territories. So this was the week in 1983 that the first Nintendo console came out.
Wow, the 8-bit gaming got its start.
Yeah, and just like, this was it. I'm pretty stoked that this happened the week we decided to start Backtrack.
What a great one to kick off with.
Right? That was, and holy shit. I mean, what an event. Yep. That just started. That was the first sort of proper game that, console that I actually played with at a friend's place. I had the Atari 2600.
Yep.
And it was very weird because I played that at home and I loved it. And I loved playing it. I was this little kid in the islands who just magically seemed to have this thing that was given to us by another family. But to me, it was this a toy that you connected to the TV. And it was just this weird, even as a little kid, I remember it as being just kind of this weird gimmick. Every game had this sort of one thing. But then when I went and played the Nintendo at Degs's house, shout out to Degs.
Hi, Degs.
I played it there at his place when I was really young. And that's when I first kind of realized, like, well, games are big stories and adventures with characters you could fall in love with. This is a whole different concept.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was pretty amazing. I'm sure the rest of the world felt the same way. We'll jump to the next one. In 2005, on July the 20th, this one's an interesting one. It's a bit more recent. You guys might remember this. The ESRB changed the rating of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas from M to AO, adults only, in response to someone finding the hot coffee controversy in that game, which I don't know if you guys remember that, but hot coffee was their code for come upstairs and have sex with me. When you finally got to a certain level with your girlfriend, you could have, you know, a choice of a bunch of different girls you could take out, and they actually showed it all. And I think it wasn't in the actual game, but I think people could find it in code that they must have canceled it out or something, but it was on the computer version, and they found these files and these video sort of images of the, you know, the characters in their graphical form just doing the thing, going at it in the room.
Yeah.
And it was, you could control it, and like, it was just a bit hardcore. So the re-rating caused most, if not all, retailers to pull the game from the shelves, and then Rockstar Games issued a full recall. And then they re-released the games with the original mature rating once they had permanently removed the pornographic content. That's pretty hardcore.
Well, yeah. I can't wait to hear more,
big news,
more gaming stuff in the future weeks to come.
Yeah, that's Backtrack for this week.
It's Backtrack, our new segment. Awesome.
Bam. All right, let's move on, man.
All right. So what's your lame train for this week, Carl?
My lame train this week, I didn't mention this earlier in the review because I didn't want to affect the score even more because it wasn't really a thing, but my lame train is making the X button, which is the normal button you press on PlayStation, load instead of save. when you go to the save menu in Crash Bandicoot.
Oh.
Because I was very far into that game and I passed one of the hardest levels in the entire thing and I had to leave. I was in a rush. So I pressed the save menu, went onto my save, and I pressed X, and then this thing came up, which I assumed was like, do you want to overwrite? I didn't even read it because I never do anymore. So this is almost my fault. And I'm like, yes, save. And then I turned off the PlayStation and off I went. Then I came back home and was like, yeah, I'm going to smash through this. It's going to be awesome. And I opened the game and I was like doing that, the hog ride level again. I thought, oh, there's another level with the hog in it. Okay. And then I did the next one, which was that Native Fortress, and I'm like, this is the same. And then I looked and I was at 47%. When I looked at my save game and it said 14%, and I realized what I'd done, and I looked at the bottom and saw like press X to load, press square to save, and I'm like, that sucks. And this is, as you heard us talk about, this is already a very frustrating game, and I lost hours and hours of gameplay, and I was extremely upset. And it's just because of the button mapping. For years I've been pressing the X button to save, and yeah, that was my lame train.
Mine is using another game's engine and putting it in your game, which shouldn't have that same game engine. Frustrating. I'm just leaving it at that. I've already spoken about it enough.
Yep, it's just, that's fair.
Oh, it's so infuriating.
And you still gave it a 7. You are a generous soul.
Seven and a half.
Oh, and a 7.5. Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I hope in the winter's cold nights, I hope to find myself at your doorstep one day so that you can feed me and house me.
Hype train.
My hype train is Dino Patty, a former CEO and co-founder of Playdead, the developer of Limbo and Inside, which was my game of the year last year, has announced a new game. And I am stoked about it. It's called Somerville. There's just a teaser trailer out right now, which is just kind of like a mood piece. But, I mean, Limbo and Inside were just some of my favorite games of all time. So I cannot wait for this. That's my hype train.
Mine is mine's Splatoon 2.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
Comes out on the Switch.
July 21.
July 21, thank you. So hype about it. I've always heard that Splatoon was like this huge Wii U game. Everyone loved it. So I'm kind of I never had a Wii U. So, you know, Splatoon 2, I get to see what all the hype was about. So I'm now on that hype train, riding it nice. Along, seeing what it's
same
like.
Same here. I never played part one either.
Yeah. So it's a new thing for both of us. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening again this week. As always, check out our Facebook page, which is Carl.
It's www.facebook.com/gametrainpodcast.
Also, we are now on Instagram as well. So if you have Instagram, please follow us at Carl. Not at Carl, but go Carl.
At gametrainpodcast.
Thank you, Carl.
You are so welcome. I got that one. I got that one right down there.
Oh, well done. Well done. All right. So that's it for this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks once again. Where we'll be doing, funnily enough, Splatoon 2 as our feature game.
Yeah, we're actually doing a double feature in the next episode,
yes,
which we're very excited about, because the other one is this little gem that we don't want you guys to miss, and I have a good feeling about it.
Yeah, it's made by an Australian developer as well.
Yeah, you know, so we got to stand behind our own.
Yonder.
Root for the home team. Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles. So that comes out July 18. We're going to jump in and see what it's like. It looks like a beautiful game, you know. It's sort of got no combat in it. It's non-violent, but it's still a giant exploring sort of kind of Stardew Valley in Wind Waker vibe.
And yeah, of course, we'll have all of our normal segments, plus our new backtrack segment will be back again. So we'll have some more gaming history for everyone. But yeah, thanks again for listening. And
that's Game Train, guys. Thank you. See you next time.
Thanks. Bye.